Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
How different is it? Let's ask our guests. Joining us now to say Tama Hotline covers college football for ESPN. Tom Van Herren, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Doing great, buddy. Appreciate you coming on this morning. And just want to pick your big brain, Tom. How different is the coaching world now compared to 15 years ago or even 5 years ago?
Yeah, I was going to say 15 years ago. You can probably go back 4 years or 5 years. It changed so much given the landscape. And, you know, I've actually talked just even within the last couple of months to some personnel directors and recruiting guys, and I think a message is kind of along what you were just talking about, that it's not just coaching anymore, that some of these guys have to be marketing guys with NIL stuff, and they've got to be talent evaluators scouring the transfer portal. And a big phrase that you'll hear a lot from coaches is roster management, because now there's a puzzle that they have to figure out every single year of who's transferring out, who could transfer in, what recruits we need to bring in, because I think a lot of times for fans, they don't fully understand the full landscape of how recruiting and the transfer portal commingle and work together, because coaches each year are only allowed 25 initial counters, which means 25 players, essentially, they can bring in, and transfers count against that 25, and so do high school prospects. So if you bring in five transfers, you only have 20 spots for recruits. But if you don't know who's transferring out or who's transferring in before you sign prospects, you've got to juggle those numbers and try to figure all that out. So it's become a headache for a lot of coaches and a lot of personnel directors as well.
Tom, do you think the profile for hiring staff has changed? I mean, once upon a time, you wanted guys who were either excellent X's and O's coaches or guys who were incredible motivators, or ideally a mixture of both. But we've evolved, and of course, one of the things that's in vogue now is analytics, guys who know how to read the numbers, who know how to make the odds work for them. But I'm thinking also now, Tom, you've got to get to your point, guys who are savvy with marketing, guys who are savvy with business deals. You know, these NIL deals are needing shepherding by the coaching staffs. I'm thinking, if I'm a head coach of an FBS school, I'm going to go get a guy who has football experience but might have a marketing degree, might have a business degree, who can shepherd all this. What's your take?
Yeah, you do have to do a little bit of everything. And the rule, you know, it's funny because the rules say that coaches are not really allowed to facilitate things, but we all know that everything becomes an arms race, and coaches and programs tend to find gray areas and loopholes for that. And so, you know, we've seen some programs where boosters have gotten involved. Texas is one where there's a nonprofit that set up a fund for all the offensive linemen on the team at Texas will make $50,000 a year. And so, you know, that's not technically supposed to be a recruiting tool to entice players, but that absolutely will be a recruiting tool. When high school prospects, offensive line prospects see that, that's going to intrigue them, and it's going to draw them to a place like Texas. And you've got to have people that know the rules, that can sell that the proper way and without getting in trouble. And you've got to have guys that can help facilitate that with the boosters and maybe push boosters along within the rules. And I think that's a big topic for a lot of prospects now and their families as well, is what NIL opportunities are going to be available to me. I believe Lane Kiffin mentioned this recently, that he's heard that from a lot of prospects and in meetings with them, that, you know, you're not really supposed to facilitate it, but they're asking what opportunities are here in NIL. And so a lot of the teams that are getting ahead now, I think in the NIL stuff, that's really going to become the next arms race of who can provide the best opportunities and who's best equipped from the staff standpoint to do that.
Tom, I might be wrong. I think I'm close to the number, but I think there are 14 states that don't have a state income tax, and I have to think that factors into this. Do you hear that out on the recruiting trail, coaches talking about, hey, we're in a better tax state, friendlier tax state? Do you ever hear that in pitches?
Not yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that pops up. I mean, some of the bigger states that you're talking about, Florida being one, I believe, that's – You know, when we start to get into bigger money deals, I think that that's something that could factor in. And like I said, with Texas doing having a fund set up for any offensive lineman, it's not just the bigger name players, it's anybody. And they're, that you're starting to get into bigger money deals that I think we're probably going to see those, more of those deals happen soon, where you see big money boosters set up funds for large amounts of money for any player, not just the big name players. And so then if that happens, if that becomes a trend, then yeah, I think that could be a selling point for some schools to say, hey, they're you're able to make $50,000 over there. You can also make $50,000 here, but there's no taxes. Your money's going to go a little bit further. It's less of a headache for you to worry about with state taxes. So I haven't heard it come up yet, but I anything is possible in recruiting, and everything becomes an arms race. So that wouldn't surprise me if it did.
You know, as we go further down the road with all this, Tom, and again, there's so many unknowns. I mean, we're learning on the fly with all of this. Can you see a world in which you have one conference just loaded with schools that have NIL money oozing from it? And can you see other conferences like for everybody else? Because I've got to think at some point, the schools that are going to provide the most NIL money are really going to start separating themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, because I when this all started, what I really thought was going to happen was initially we would see a lot of money thrown around, because everybody was trying to gauge the impact, if it was really worth it from a business standpoint, what alum would get involved, how much money some of the boosters would be willing to pay for deals. And what I thought would happen after that initial phase is we'd probably see it slow down a little bit, and we'd probably see more influencer marketing deals where some of the bigger names with bigger followings would get deals from companies, because, you know, from an actual company, an actual NIL standpoint, what the rule, its intent was for, there has to be some return on investment there. And so the actual companies that are doing this and getting involved, they've got to gauge whether it's worth their investment. Now, what I didn't anticipate happening as fast, I thought it would happen, but I didn't think it would happen this fast, is what we just talked about, and the boosters getting involved and setting up funds for really doing nothing for any player on the team. And there's some other, BYU has a deal for their walk-ons that a group is going to pay for their tuition or the cost of their tuition for really doing nothing. And they're going to set up, I'm assuming, autograph deals and photo opportunities, but that wasn't really the intent of the deal or of the NIL process. And so we're starting to see that happen more and more, to where I think that's going to shift. And I actually think it's going to start happening very soon with some other big programs, that it's eventually going to be who has the biggest alumni base and which alumni have the most money to put in a fund and try to set up these funds for players, where I think then that's what you're going to start to see as a separation of who can put up the most money. Now, I would also add, though, that I think that when this first happened, a lot of people thought that the rich would get richer, and I do think in certain cases that's happening. But if you look at the recruiting rankings, it really hasn't changed a lot. I mean, Alabama is at the top of the list; they're always at the top. Georgia's up there, Ohio State's up there. A lot of the same schools are still up there, and I actually think this can create, depending on the university, this can create some other opportunities for smaller schools that otherwise wouldn't have had those opportunities. So maybe it can level the playing field a little bit for some of the smaller schools. But if you've got a large alumni base, if you've got millionaire and billionaire alum, then they're going to start to pool that money together and figure out ways to use it to their advantage.
And Tom, before we let you go, have you had an opportunity to actually see any NIL contracts, or maybe have heard of what's included in this in these contracts? Because I've wondered this: are there stipulations such as you have to play X number of snaps, you have to have so many yards rushing, so on and so forth?
I have not seen an actual contract, but I will say that is not that those kind of deals are not allowed, and so any rumors of those or reports of those that we've seen or heard about, we've asked some sources about that, and they've negated those reports and said that there are no stipulations within the report. Now, I have not seen it, so I can't confirm that 100%. But, you know, the interesting part about this for me is that a lot of those deals, now you have agents involved. and there's a go-between between the player and the coaches, or the players and the contracts that they're getting set up from agents. And so a lot of those are NFL agents that have worked a lot of deals before and have worked marketing deals before, that they know exactly what they're doing and how these deals should look. So I don't know that those agents would allow for a stipulation like that, that you've got to play X number of snaps, especially someone like Quinn Ewers, the quarterback out of Texas who went to Ohio State, who was just a freshman and signed a $1.4 million deal for autographs. There's no telling what could happen in that career. I have to think that those agents are savvy enough that they would try to get those out of there and not include that type of stipulation, given how volatile college football can be.
And Tom, before we let you go, without necessarily naming names, have you spoken with a coach or maybe other administrator who have actually just let you know how they feel about NIL? I mean, what's the most striking comment you've heard, maybe on the record or off the record, that just really illustrates this age we're in?
Yeah, I think most of them are for the idea and the intent of it, and the idea of allowing players to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. But I think that there's a few problems that a lot of them have had and expressed. That one, there's no overall guidelines or set of rules for everybody. You know, some states have different rules, state laws that they have to follow. Some conferences and schools have different rules than other schools. So they're playing by everybody's playing by a different set of rules, and there's no official guideline from the NCAA. And a lot of coaches don't like that. A lot of programs don't like that. The NCAA has basically washed their hands of it and said, you guys figure it out. And I think that has partially contributed to what we were just talking about before, with these NIL deals morphing into something other than what the intent originally was, and boosters and alum getting involved. And now it is a recruiting tool, even though it's not supposed to be. And so that's a concern for coaches. The other concern, too, is what I just mentioned about agents getting involved. With the transfer portal, I think some of this stuff is starting to overlap. That we were already seeing tampering with transfers, where college coaches would go and talk to trainers or high school coaches of some of the players that were already in college, because you can't go and directly talk to the players on other teams and say they want you to transfer to their program. So they would go around that. But now with the agents, there's a go-between that coaches can go to the agents and say, hey, we've got an NIL deal here. If that guy wants to come transfer, we got a spot for him, and there's probably some NIL opportunities. He could make some money here. I think coaches are nervous about how that's going to impact transfers as well and the overall rosters. And again, that's not what the intent of all of this was for. And so if it gets out of hand and gets to that level, I think there's going to be some big concerns from a lot of coaches.
Fascinating stuff from Tom Van Haren. You can follow him on Twitter at TomVH. Tom, appreciate coming on this morning, buddy. Happy holidays to you.
You too. Thanks for having me. See ya.
All right. It's fascinating stuff. Tom Van Haren on the Saitama Hotline.